Folks, welcome to the Radio Video Active Microphone. A young lady that says, here's the way I see it. At least that's the name of her new book. And this is a fascinating little book. It's a complete history or story, if you will, of one of the stars of Little House on the Prairie. Say hello to Melissa Anderson. Hi, darling. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, it's terrific to talk to you. It really is. I'm one of your biggest fans, in case you didn't know that.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Now, this entire book that you have written, Melissa, is basically the way you saw what was happening on Little House on the Prairie, right?
Right.
How did you... I'm curious. Okay, give me the scoop on it. You're doing commercials and so forth, and suddenly... Bingo, you're on Little House on the Prairie, but there had to be a reason or a method for you to get there. What happened?
Well, you know, I had the beginning of the book actually chronicles the phone call from my agent.
Right.
And sort of starts out a kind of trend I set in the book where I do screenplay pages for some fun moments. And so there's a scene where my agent calls and asks me would I like to audition for this movie slash pilot for NBC, and I had never done anything quite that big before.
Huh.
But of course I was thrilled, so I along with I guess about 200 other girls auditioned for the role of Mary.
Whoa.
And then they kept narrowing it down, and eventually we read for, or some of us, however many of us, read for Mike Landon.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually after that, well, then a little bit of time went by, and some of us read, I'm sorry, screen tested for the role. So that's kind of how it worked. And they just kind of narrow it down each time. And I was very surprised when I found out I had gotten the role, because on the day of the screen test, they let me go and kept two other girls there.
Whoa.
So I thought, well, that's it. You know, I just didn't get it, and that's understandable. And,
yeah,
you know, these
yeah.
things happen, and,
sure.
you know, that's the way they did it. So I was very surprised, and I found out later that when they saw me on film, they were, they loved it. So I think that there are actors like that are very, sometimes you're very impressive in the room and you're not so impressive on film. It doesn't translate as well. And other times, maybe they're not as impressed in the room, but on film, there you are. Oh, that has to be her, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was one of those things, I guess.
For sure. You know, I sort of heard that thing about Gary Cooper one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was watching an interview by one guy who was talking about producing the Cooper picture. They came from Cordura. And he said, you know, every time I'd ask Cooper to do a line or two, he'd do the line. He said, I didn't get much. And he said, but then I go back and I look at the thing at the end of the day, and his eyes bugged out, and he said, I got much more than what I anticipated.
Uh-huh.
And so evidently, you know, that's the case, I suppose. They say that some people have star quality in their eyes and that the camera can pick up on it. Do you buy that?
Well, I think yes. I mean, I think that it sounds, I'm not really trying to say this about myself, but I mean, yeah, I think that kind of thing happens. People have a certain charisma or they don't. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that could work against you too. I mean, you know, maybe that doesn't translate on Broadway or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, or you have to work a lot harder. I don't know, but you know, there's people, you look at Paul Newman, and mm-hmm. you know, I mean, he turned out to be, I think he probably loved the theater. I don't know, I haven't read a book about him recently, but you know, he seems like he was so technical and everything and such a perfectionist that he probably loved doing theater.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, film loved him, you know, so I'm sure he loved doing movies as well, but you know, obviously, you know, those eyes on film, and you know that, you know, you could see his soul, you know.
Yeah.
So, so anyway, I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, I got to disagree with you, my dear. I think that when I look into your eyes, I see star quality, because everyone's always saying, "Oh, she's got such gorgeous, bright, pretty blue eyes." Well, you do. I don't understand.
Thank you.
I don't understand what the deal is, but they are gorgeous and they are blue for sure. By the way, I was driving along the other day, and it happens quite a bit. Something pops in my mind, And suddenly I'm reminiscing about a guy I used to see whose name would pop up as a producer or a writer for occasional television shows, Michael Sloan. And I'm saying, whatever happened to him? And suddenly I get your book and I'm reading it. Whoa, this is what happened to Michael Sloan, folks. He's married to Melissa Anderson. So he's still doing fine and well. That's good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Very busy and, yes, working away. But, yeah, he's a very prolific writer. He's constantly writing.
Yeah, by the way, no relation to yours truly. Same name, same spelling. But no.
Oh, that's right. Of course. That's
no,
right.
no relation. No. Oh, gee. What's it like when suddenly you are thrust in the presence of a guy by the name of Michael Landon? I know you had to have known him from starring as Joe Cartwright on Bonanza before Little House ever went on the air.
I did. I didn't know, you know, I hadn't had the opportunity to stay up late and watch the show that often, but I did, of course, know him and from, you know, from Bonanza and who he was and that he was so handsome and everything.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was pretty amazing to meet him in person. It was. I mean, he was. You can imagine how handsome. Mm-hmm. You know, he was then, and then in person, it was just amazing. So, yeah, and he was very nice, and he's very outgoing. He was very outgoing.
Was he as personable, Melissa, as I'm told that he was?
Yes,
really?
especially then. You know, he was very, very. He really, you know, put on a big show, you know, he was very charming, really charming.
Fascinating character, I'm sure. There was another guy that you worked with in Little House on the Prairie that owes his roots to Bonanza, too. A young fellow by the name of Mitch Vogel, who happened to be on Bonanza the very last year it went on the air with Mike Landon and Lorne Greene for that.
Right, I had heard that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mitch, he was very nice. Really, really a nice, nice young guy. And, yeah, he played this character Johnny Johnson in our show and walked around barefoot on the hot Simi Valley dirt and you know, never complained and really a great guy. Yeah, very nice guy.
Okay.
And Victor French also played bad guys on Bonanza.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he played different bad guys. He may have. The show was on so long. They may have brought him back in different bad guy characters. I don't know. But I know I'm almost positive anyway that he was a bad guy on Bonanza.
Right.
Too.
You know the one role I remember Vic French from more so than any other role he ever did?
Which is that?
It's a John Wayne picture called Rio Lobo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
He was the bad guy.
Ah, okay.
And a rather vicious bad guy, I might add, too.
Really? Oh, I should look that up.
Yeah,
wow.
I was just, I mentioned that to you because I wasn't sure if perhaps you had seen the picture, but if you ever get a chance to, it's...
No, I haven't. You know, I'll mention it to my husband because he's a big John Wayne fan, so he probably has seen, I'm sure he has.
Really?
Yeah, so I'll mention the Victor's in there, and maybe, you know, I think if he'd known, he would have told me, so he must not have realized. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's interesting.
That was a great Victor French role. It really was.
Funny, some of these, you know, in researching some of the book, some of these character actors like Victor, I'm also thinking of the guy who did the Folgers coffee commercials and he played our judge in several episodes later on, like from year four or five. And I looked up his bio, and it goes on for like 2.5 pages or something.
Whoa.
I mean, the work that this man had done, I mean, it's really amazing.
Isn't it?
And, you know, you some of these actors, it's, you know, they never stop working, you know. It's just great.
Very true. Very true. A lot of them are literally card-carrying ensembles, if you will, of the kind of work they've done and so forth. Terrific.
Right, right.
Do you miss being that age, Melissa, in a TV series like that?
No. I mean, I'm glad I'm, you know, where I am now, and I'm glad I have my kids, and no, I'm glad I'm not a teenager anymore. I think once you get through your 30s, probably, you start to figure some things out. You know, it takes a while.
Yeah.
But I think by the time you get through your 30s, you're really starting. You're on the road, at least the right path. I think so. I'm pretty happy where I am, actually.
Well, what's it like to work with the other Melissa in Little House on the Prairie?
Well, you know, I don't write a lot about her in the book because we were very, very different people. We came from very different backgrounds. I was the first person in my family, and they would say the strangest, to be in the entertainment business. And she came from sort of a long line of entertainers. So, we were very different. I was very quiet, very shy, very reserved. She was just the opposite. So she was kind of intimidating to me, and kind of also, even though she was, and you know, she also was a year and a half younger, but everyone thought she was much younger, and it kind of seemed that way because we were so different. And I was very, I really, really wanted to learn the business, and I was very interested in that. And she was a little more, I want to play, kind of.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, she wanted to have fun. She figured, I'll just have a great, I think, anyway. That's the way it appeared to me.
Yeah.
So we don't, you know, we never really got to know each other that well. We were always friendly. We always worked together great. We never had any problems. But in depth, we really didn't know each other that well. And that happens, I think, a lot. People don't realize that, but especially in series that have families cast, not just friends, but families. You end up being, you know, filming and having scenes together so closely, but you can be so different that you really don't, you know, you're nowhere near like a family, you know.
Yeah.
And that it does happen much more than people realize, I think, because after all, we are actors. We try to, you know, act and show that we're doing a good job. You know, we're trying to do that.
Sure.
So we never really, I don't think either one of us knows the other one that well, and to say that we do would be not true.